Friends, we come now to a new section in the little prophecy of Micah. The little prophecy of Micah can be compared to a Jewish day. It's the evening and the morning that you have here. It opens in the darkness of night, and the first three chapters are judgment, as we've seen. Who is like unto thee, that is, a God like unto thee, proclaiming future judgment for past sins? That was chapters 1-3. But even in that section, that little ray of light, like breaking through a very dark, stormy cloud, breaks through. But now we've come to a new section here, prophesying future glory because of past promises, and that's chapters 4-5. And there'll be a little judgment in this section, but the glorious thing is that it's now the light with every now and then a cloud passing across the brightness of the sun. And in chapter 4 that we've now come to, we have prophecies of the last days. Now, it opens like this, and I'm reading verse 1 of chapter 4 of Micah. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Now, this is a very remarkable passage of Scripture that we've come to, and it may sound strangely familiar to some of you because it's very similar to the second chapter of Isaiah. And you must remember that Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah, and the scholars, both conservative and liberal, down through the years, have batted the ball back and forth. Did Micah copy Isaiah, or did Isaiah copy Micah? And very candidly, I think that that's more or less a waste of time, because nobody has the answer to that. And I like it better like this, that the Holy Spirit is the author, and he was able to say the same thing through Isaiah and Micah. And the reason he said it twice is because it's important. And that's the reason that we should look at this rather carefully. And it's rather like a story I heard about Mel Trotter, the evangelist of a former day, a man that God wonderfully used. And this man got up to give a message in Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, the sermon I'm going to give, I actually got it from Dr. Morgan. And I've always given him credit for it, but he says, since I first gave it, why, he said, I found out that Dr. Meyer had it in one of his books. And he said, I don't know where Dr. Meyer got it, and therefore I do not know who to give credit for it, so I'll just preach the sermon. Well, I feel that way about Micah and Isaiah, chapter 2 of Isaiah and chapter 4 of Micah, the way they both begin. They both go back to one author, and that author is the Holy Spirit of God. But now notice, as we come to this chapter here, in this verse in particular, it opens with this little conjunction, but. And that is one that generally is used for a contrast. And you have a contrast between what went before. And of course, that would be, in particular, the last part of chapter 3. And the last verse of chapter 3, verse 12, reads, therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Now, actually, Jeremiah, in the 26th chapter, verse 18, quotes Micah as saying this. So, Jeremiah confirms it, and it did take place during the time of Nebuchadnezzar when he destroyed Jerusalem. And if you want to know how important that is, or how significant it is, then read the first few chapters of Nehemiah. And you'll find out when he went back to Jerusalem, he found it in a mess. It actually lay there, the debris and ashes and rubble and ruin, and it looked like a hopeless task to rebuild the city. But, of course, they did that. And it was actually the Talmud, which is a Jewish writing, it records the fact that at the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman Titus in 70 A.D., that an officer in the Roman army, and he's even given the name of Rufus, he plowed up the foundations of the temple with a plowshare. Now, there are those that reject that tradition, for that's what it was, but actually Jerome noticed it, and Maimonides, the Jewish philosopher, also noticed it and recorded it. I rather think that it is accurate tradition that, frankly, both of these men, Nebuchadnezzar and certainly this man Titus, who hated both Jews and Christians, was certainly capable of doing a thing like that. Well, at least Micah and then Jeremiah quotes him as saying that Zion shall be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps. Now, I'm not concerned about whether Nebuchadnezzar did it, or whether Titus did it later on, or whether even both of them did it, which I think is accurate. But regardless of that, the facts are, and they have been substantiated, that was the situation in Jerusalem when Nehemiah returned, and it was the situation of Jerusalem after the destruction of Titus in 70 A.D. Now, this that's coming up in chapter 4, especially the first part here, is in contrast to it. It says, but in the last days. Now, he's moving beyond the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar and the destruction of Titus, and beyond any other destruction that's taken place, to the last days. Now, we have seen that the last days are used in the Old Testament as actually a technical term. It's a phrase that has a very definite meaning. And our Lord identified it and labeled it. He called it the tribulation, the great one. That is the great tribulation period. That's when these things then would come to pass, and then at the end of them, the Lord Jesus would return to the earth, and his return would end the great tribulation period, which is a brief period of, I believe, 7 years, approximately that, and then the millennial kingdom is established on earth by the Lord Jesus personally coming to the earth. So that the last days embrace both the great tribulation, the return of Christ to the earth, and the establishment of the kingdom here upon the earth, the millennial kingdom. But in the last days, now he's moved out and beyond all local situations. And he's looking now down to the future. And as we said, the darker it got in Israel, the brighter the future was for these people. And that is always true. They tell me that if you go far enough down in a well and look up, you can see the stars. And when they hit bottom, that's when they could see the stars. They could see the light out yonder in the distance, the distant future. Now, let me read on. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Now, we mentioned when we were dealing with this almost identical passage in Isaiah 2, that the word mountain is used literally, and it's also used figuratively. Daniel uses it in a figurative way, that stone cut out without hand, it filled the earth. That stone is Christ that is coming. And it became a great mountain that filled the earth. Well, what does that mean? That is certainly giving a spiritual interpretation of it. And we have no right to spiritualize unless we have scriptural authority for it. And we do for this, that what he's talking about here is a mountain, a kingdom that's to be established here upon the earth. But I would not rob it of the literal sense also, for the very simple reason that Jerusalem is set upon a hill. Scripture makes that clear. And all you have to do is to go over there and take a look. It's on a hill. And a city that's set on a hill just can't be hidden, the Lord Jesus said. You couldn't hide Jerusalem. So we're talking about Jerusalem here, as we shall see. And it's the kingdom that will be centered there. It will be the capital of the earth. That the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Now, they're not flowing in that direction right now. The flow is in the other direction. And that's at the time I'm making this tape. The way the world conditions are changing, you hear this in a month's time. It could altogether be different. But right now, the flow is in the opposite direction. This is not being fulfilled today, and of course, will not until Messiah comes.